The Blue Rose Manuscript, by Francis Rosenfeld. The Round World. Megapuzzle. A life-sized construct, game, toy, or problem, designed to test ingenuity or knowledge.
To start your instruction, what is life? Life is a giant puzzle made of pieces you can see and pieces you can't see. And the more pieces you can fit together, the better your understanding of life and the more you can do. The mistake most people make is trying to solve the puzzle only with the pieces they can see. No wonder nobody ever figures things out. When architects design a building, they draw plans, flat sheets of paper on which they describe what you can see at a certain level. Nobody in their right mind would try to make a building out of floor plans, like a finger-thin stack of pancakes smothering each other. It is implied that things happen between those levels, things that are not described in the plans. If the details of the design are outside of the ordinary nature of construction, they may be depicted on facades and rendered in perspectives, but most often than not, the builder and the architect fall back on the mutual and unspoken understanding of how things are usually done. They both understand that there are walls between the levels, and the walls need support and reinforcement. They both understand that a circle is not a plate, but a tall column, and that a gap in the wall is a window and not a full height hole. The same thing happens when we solve this giant puzzle we call life. We need to fall back on the unspoken knowledge of how things evolve. For instance, that there is a time gap between the origination of an action and its visible consequences in the world, or the rule of critical mass, which pushes an event past the point of no return for good or for ill just because of the massive levels of pressure that various components of society bear upon it together at precisely the right time. Can you please stop fidgeting? You are a grown woman, for God's sake. Do you need to take a break or something? We just started.
We could not establish what the last paragraph refers to. It seems to be out of context, and there is a possibility the author added it later, for reasons unknown. The ink for this portion of the writing is slightly darker than that of the rest of the manuscript, but that may be a consequence of the increased pressure on the quill.
I would like to present to you the few rules I could glean about the unseen world. These rules have served me well in my life. Unfortunately, everybody's unseen pieces of the puzzle are personal and unique, and my examples are just that. Examples. Use them as guides for the kinds of things to look for. Nothing more. Don't take them at face value. All things come from the invisible side of life. All things. Some people interpret this to mean that all things come from nothing. This couldn't be farther from the truth. All things come from the unseen, and when they disappear, they go back to the unseen. So, you see, my child, nothing is ever lost, and nobody ever dies. It's all been there in the unseen forever. Its contents just touch down every now and then to meddle in our world. Whenever life gets stuck in an impossible circumstance or flips on you in ways that reason cannot explain, take that as a sign that there is an invisible piece that must fit in that space. Is this good or bad? Neither better nor worse than the visible pieces of the puzzle you need to fit together. You use them because they are the only pieces that fit in that space. They are not about good or bad. They are about putting the puzzle together. The fact that you can't see the invisible pieces just adds a layer of discomfort to the mix. That's all. You can't win at any game if you don't know what winning the game means. In this case, winning the game means solving the puzzle. It doesn't mean stockpiling as many visible pieces of a particular kind you can get your hands on, or making sure that a specific color or pattern dominates, or trying to reshape pieces of the puzzle that belong to other corners to make them fit into your vacant space in the present moment. Your knowledge sets your mindset. You are the master of your game. That means that sometimes you learn to accept that some pieces just don't fit. Unlike in an ordinary puzzle, here time matters. Some pieces that do not fit now will slide into place with incredible ease later. If life gives you a puzzle piece, it's part of the puzzle. Don't discard it because its timing is wrong. Accept what you don't know. If you are not a master builder, you won't understand that some information is missing from the plans because it's implied. For instance, every opening has a header. There is a bond beam at the top of the wall. Flooring has thickness. You will not find this information in your plans. Don't blame the plans. Don't blame yourself either. For some things you can get help, some you can learn on your own, and some you will never figure out because you haven't reached that level of mastery. Those things will be passed down to future use. Speaking of the future, I have to introduce a truth that is very difficult to comprehend because there are no examples that come to mind that would demonstrate it. So you must take it on faith. Puzzle pieces must work in all directions of time. I have no way to explain it better, so I'll just leave it at that. Are you writing things down? I hope you don't expect to just remember all of this. These are difficult concepts. Oh, good, you took notes.
The authorship versus the penmanship of the document was up for debate for a long time, but in the end most of the experts agreed that the handwriting in the manuscript is not the master's, but that of one of his pupils, who served as a scribe. The paragraph above confirms that theory, despite the arguments of the opposing camp, who maintains that his comment about note-taking doesn't necessarily refer to this work. There is a confusing level of interaction that permeates the writings, which some experts speculate was simply the result of the scribe's inability to differentiate between dictation and commentary.
Some pieces belong only to one level. Others have continuity through many levels or even all. The master builder will know which ones those are. But on the plans, they all look the same. This is the first thing you have to learn. You can't advance your construction at all if you can't get its structure right. Don't confuse the scaffolding with the structure itself. The scaffolding will have to come down eventually. It's not supposed to stay there forever. Some pieces are there just for information. Others are actual pieces of the puzzle. After you garner a certain level of sophistication, it won't be difficult for you to tell them apart. If people insist on retrieving puzzle pieces for you without your asking, avoid them like the plague. There is a very simple reason for that. Your puzzle pieces have meanings that are deeply personal and hold information for you alone and to which other people don't have access. Picture a blindfolded person trying to help you cross the street. You can guess the outlines of your pattern as soon as a critical set of pieces comes together. You spend the rest of the game in the enjoyment of filling in the blanks with detail. Don't quit because you solved your puzzle. Finish your puzzle. There must be a law of reality that as soon as you are certain beyond a doubt that a specific piece is the correct one, you'll be proven wrong. This game seems to favor those who are no longer sure of anything. Eventually, if you become a master builder, you will see your building completed. And it will be glorious, and larger than life, and no longer yours. You will feel slighted by that. But you can't deny your spiritual child, the work of your hands, the right to stand on its own. You brought it into the world. Now it is not your responsibility anymore. The puzzle of your life works the same way. Don't linger around the already completed corners. They are done. Are you tired? We covered a lot of ground here. Maybe we should take a break.
The ink intensity and the slant of the quill seem to indicate that some time had elapsed between the writing of this paragraph and that of the next, but it is hard to estimate whether that meant minutes, hours, or days. We believe these semi-formal lectures spanned years during which there were frequent interruptions, and the reasons for the time lapses remain unknown. Some experts even speculated that the manuscript was copied to reorganize concepts originally presented out of sequence so that the reader wouldn't get trapped in the logical disconnect of continuity errors.
So, you've been asking me why on earth are we bothering to figure out these rules? There is a short answer and a long answer to this. The short answer is that your life depends on it. Literally. The long answer is that learning to recognize these principles takes decades, even lifetimes, during which you struggle with trial and error, throwing dots at the board blindly and wondering why your life doesn't work out. Life doesn't work out when you don't understand its underlying structure. And by the time you gain enough knowledge about it, you are only left with enough time to look back at all the things you should have done better, but for which it's now too late. For instance, I spent 30 years trying to figure out what winning the game meant, just because I was too busy playing it and too emotionally invested in its minutiae to distance myself from it so I could see its details. Sometimes you can't see all the details ahead of time anyway, but it's still worth a try. You can't understand your life until you learn to see it with someone else's eyes, someone who doesn't care about it all that much. Another thing you asked me is, if this is so important, how come you haven't heard it before? The answer is, I'm sure you have, but you didn't understand it. If you think back, you'll find all the instances when wisdom was presented to you. We can't see or hear the things we cannot understand. It is as simple as that. What does it take to understand them? I don't know. People give this threshold in our life all sorts of fancy names, like awakening or becoming enlightened. But it's not like that at all. It's not like school, where you learn arithmetic over the course of a whole year and at the end of it you can add and multiply. You go to bed blind one night and wake up with the sun shining in your eyes the next morning, and it is often a very unpleasant experience. Why did I pick the puzzle as a metaphor? As opposed to what? What would you have picked? No, I'm serious. Think about that. Well, I guess creating a musical composition would work too. I pick puzzle pieces because they all look more or less the same in a pile. They don't come with labels, and they make no sense individually, but only as a part of the larger design. You can create whatever metaphor you like for yourself. You can create your own rules. In fact, you sort of have to, otherwise your game will be chaotic and outside of your control. Are there any books written about this? The answer might surprise you. All the books that were ever written were written about this. Also, all the music, all the arts, all of philosophy, a significant portion of religion, and most of the science. You can just go to the library, pick a book off the shelf at random, and it will be about this. You may try it sometimes. It's a good exercise. We are in a library after all.
We set up an experiment based on the suggestion above, which yielded abnormally high levels of correlation between randomly selected reading material and the subject of the well-examined life. The team couldn't determine a causal relationship, but had to concede to an unusually high clustering of coincidences. We discontinued the experiment after the third year, for lack of practical applications. There was also a concern about the experiment affecting crew morale, since some team members claimed to have developed mild forms of obsessive-compulsive disorder as a result, allegations we subsequently disproved. All the pages of the manuscript have been authenticated and their historical period was confirmed. We are not trying to find explanations for the use of modern verbal structures and recent vocabulary words inside it, nor do we wish to speculate on the master's hint at time variability, for which we have no evidence. Portions of the manuscript have been acid-tested sometime during the last century, and as a result the writing had turned blurry in places, though still readable. We have not reached any conclusions whether the master also considered more conventional organizing systems for structuring his ontology, based on geometrical patterns, logical trees, or grammar. The fact that he chose to model reality after a game was considered controversial by many thinkers during the early decades, but the game model has gained broader acceptance in recent years. There are still some who question the use of a parlor game as a metaphor for life, arguing it debases its value, engenders a false set of expectations, and flouts personal responsibility. We have not determined which one of his pupils he was addressing in this document, or even if he was talking to a person or multiple people. Considering the questions recorded in the manuscript, we assumed that the discussion involved a larger group, rather than just the master and the scribe. Out of respect for the teacher's work, we have translated it in its entirety and we are presenting it unredacted. We offer no opinion on it, nor should anybody consider it implied.